Afternoons with Aaron here on Kate Radio, AM 1450. Got to talk Minnesota Wild hockey, our good friend with the Minnesota Wild Radio Network, Kevin Faulness. And Kevin, how are you feeling after last night's game? There was so much positivity in that first period, and then things kind of took a left in the second.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that anybody that has a rooting interest in the Wild are disappointed after what transpired after game number three. Series tied at a game apiece, finally get that first Wild playoff home game at Xcel Energy Center in 3 years, and after a dominant first period that was picture perfect start to finish, things unraveled starting in the second. Knights score five unanswered goals and now claim a 2-1 series lead in this best of seven series. So as bad as it was, as disappointing as it was, it only counts as one loss. Wild still very much, nowhere even close to out of this series. They just have to handle business now and going into game four Saturday night in St. Paul.
Kevin, even though there's limited number of fans, the crowd that was there, they made a lot of noise and they were energized early at the X. Talk about that first goal. I saw on Twitter, what did you call that pass? Because it was pretty.
Yeah, it was all about Kirill Kaprizov. Ryan Hartman gets credit for the goal. The first shot of the hockey game, gets back behind Marc-Andre Fleury, but it was a backdoor tap-in. It was a tape-to-tape pass. Kirill Kaprizov saw Hartman on the back door and threaded it over to him, and Aaron, I think you or I could have scored that goal. It was just it's such a perfect pass. Found the tape, and all Hartman had to do was redirect it past Marc-Andre Fleury. The flower had zero chance on that one. So great start to the hockey game, and the crowd was electric after that one.
And then talk about the second goal. Joel Eriksson Ek, we thought he had two in the first period. We'll get to that in just a moment, but talk about that second goal.
Yeah, I mean, that line has been driving this team for the majority of the season, and it's because they play such a great brand of hockey on both ends of the ice. But this time, it was one of those where Foligno was able to get that rebound over to Joel Eriksson Ek. He just steps around Marc-Andre Fleury and delivers it to the back of the net. So it's like the perfect start for Minnesota. They're up 2-0 at this point. They figured out a way to beat Marc-Andre Fleury, something that they did on a pretty irregular basis in the first two games, and both of them off of, deflection goals. Both of these were not deflections. They figured out a way to get some offense towards Marc-Andre Fleury and into the net, and things were going in the absolute right direction. And like you alluded to, it felt like it got even better when they took the 3-0 lead on third of the series, second of the hockey game, but unfortunately it's waved off due to offsides, and absolute right call, still disappointing that couldn't stand.
Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, and it was the right call. But do you think that had a big effect, especially for Vegas? I mean, I think if the goal stands, Minnesota is able to keep on landing, body blow after body blow. The goal comes off, the excitement diminishes a little bit, and all of a sudden Vegas goes, hey, we're only down 2-0. We just got to get to the end of the period. And they got there, and then they took over in the second. I still believe, and like you said, he was offside. It was the right call. But, man, if we get that one, I think it's a different game.
Yeah, to a degree, I definitely do think that there's some validity to that, although I remember vividly how they opened that second period, and if one of those fall, the Wild are back in the driver's seat. Yeah. Kevin Fiala had a couple of chances in the first couple of minutes, one right after the other, where he broke in off the rush, got the shot off, Marc-Andre Fleury makes that save, kicks it to the side, and Fiala had another chance on the rebound and missed it, unfortunately for him. Then you had another one where I remember watching, and it was clear as day, Matt Zuccarello sitting at the Golden Knights blue line, and he is watching Kirill Kaprizov make his way into the low slot. Feeds another perfect pass to Kaprizov. Kaprizov directs it back on to net perfectly, and Fleury was there to make the save. If one of those fall, it's a different complexion to the hockey game, but unfortunately, neither of those went. Mark Stone was able to cut the lead in half, and then at the end of the second, a pair of goals in 2 minutes and 16 seconds kind of sealed the Wild's fate. They never responded from that. A couple more body blows in the third period, and in the end, and the dust settles, it's a 5-2 loss.
Kevin, did I read this right? Marc-Andre Fleury, just 14 saves? Is that number correct?
That's the worst part about the whole thing. I can understand losing a hockey game, but it stinks to get outshot by that margin on your home ice, especially when at one point you're up 2-0. So, yeah, 14 saves for Fleury, who was good but didn't have to be stunning because the Wild didn't give him much to contend with.
Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Disappointing night at the XL Energy Center. A lot of energy in downtown St. Paul at the establishments around the X and inside the building. We got to talk about an injury. Who was it that, was it a broken arm someone suffered last night?
Yeah, Marcus Johansson coming off the right wing was driving towards the net, lost an edge, and was tripped at the same time and went real awkwardly into the cage and ended up apparently going in with his left arm into the near post, and the end result was a broken arm. So he was taken from the ice, did not return. Dean Evason said today, broken arm, so someone has to replace him in the lineup for game four. And the two leading candidates, my assumption would be Zach Parise probably gets in the lineup, and maybe even you make another move and bring in a Matt Boldy, who just recently turned pro after finishing up his college career, but was on fire in the American Hockey League for the Iowa Wild in his first few games as a pro. So that's another guy who's never skated with the big club, has never practiced with them, but he's got tons of talent. First-round pick in 2019. I know that the sky's the limit for his future. The question is his future now? And if it is, who does he replace in the lineup if Parise replaces Johansson?
So is there a chance they take both, or is it just one or the other?
I think one of them for sure, and I guess it's not even for sure. There's plenty of guys they can choose from on the taxi squad, but if I were in Vegas and I were betting, I'd have to assume Zach Parise is in for Marcus Johansson, and then if Dean Evason wants another, you know, way to kick the team in the butt, he could bring in a Matt Boldy or someone else for another player, a Nick Bjugstad or a Nico Sturm potentially, or who knows what other, you know, buttons Dean Evason is going to try to push. It'll be fascinating to see which direction it goes once the lineups take the ice tomorrow night. I can't imagine he's going to unveil anything prior to the 7:15 puck drop tomorrow night at XL Energy Center.
We'll have that game for you right here on Kate Radio. I'm seeing a playoff story coming here, Kevin. Zach Parise, healthy scratch for a while. He comes in there in game four on his home ice, helps the Wild even things up at two games apiece. I'm looking into my crystal ball. Do you see it?
Yeah, very much. I mean, while Matt Boldy is an unknown commodity in the National Hockey League, he's done some good things in college. He was great in the American Hockey League and has limited time there. We know what Zach Parise is all about. Is he the same Zach Parise that he was, you know, in 2012 when he landed in Minnesota, or, you know, had some great moments in New Jersey and whatnot? No, he's not that same guy. But he, still, even at 36 years of age, you put him in the fourth line. One thing you know, without a doubt, you're going to get an honest day's work from Zach Parise. His little legs never stop churning. He's always in the blue paint, in the high danger areas, you know, and he'll make life uncomfortable at the very least for Marc-Andre Fleury. He leads the Wild in franchise just about everything when it comes to playoff success. So there's not a lot that we don't know about Zach Parise. The question is, how is he going to hold up? But I'll guarantee you this much. He's going to give you a 100%, 110% effort, and he's dying to get in there. This is his time of year, and I'm sure that once he gets there, it's going to be, you know, he'll be champing at the bet.
Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. And, you know, let's put your betting odds on it. If you had to choose one of those two guys, which guy do you think gets the spot if it's just one of them?
Oh, it's Zach Parise. Okay. I don't think there's any doubt. I think Parise's in there tomorrow. I think if Boldy or someone else gets in, it's because someone else is coming out. But to me, I'd be shocked if it isn't Zach Parise replacing Matt Boldy, Marcus Johansson in the lineup. That would be my betting money for sure.
Kevin, what do the Wild have to do different? Obviously, they got to do a lot of things different to win game four tomorrow night, even this series at two games apiece. What did they learn from last night's game, and what has to be different again tomorrow night?
Well, you got to be disciplined. You can't take those continual trips to the penalty box. I know that the Golden Knights only didn't score on any of their five power plays, but you can't give a team like that trips to the with a man advantage and think that you're going to escape unscathed. That's where they started to change the momentum of the hockey game, and the Wild have to be smarter than that. Not only that, but you know what they did in the first period in games two and games three, bottle that up, build upon that, use that to your advantage, and then don't get frustrated. I know that Marc-Andre Fleury's been good. I know you're now down 2-1 in the series after leading one rip, but it's only a one-game margin. The margin for error between these two teams is razor thin, and I think if the Wild can get their heads on straight, play like they did in game in the first period of game three, and forget about the collapse over the course of the final 40 minutes, I think they'll be fine. I think this series gets tied at two games apiece, and here we go to Vegas for game five.
All the action tomorrow night right here on KATE. Kevin Fullness will have your pregame show, and then Bob and Tom with the drop of the puck. We need a win. Need a win at the X tomorrow night. Kevin Fullness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network. Kevin, enjoy the game tomorrow night. We'll talk to you next week, and have a great weekend.
Sounds great. You too, Aaron. Thanks for having me.